The words of God given to us today are from Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 19. It is page 46 of the New Testament. The words are from Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 19. I will read the words. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover." Amen. When Mary poured an alabaster jar of perfume on the Lord, some around them were surprised, and some became angry. After seeing their responses, the Lord complimented Mary, and he said that how Mary served him will be told throughout the world. What Mary did and what Jesus said about it were something that Judas Iscariot could not understand at all. And he revealed his stubbornness about wanting to sell off his master and his greed in his actions. When Judas Iscariot went to see the high priest at last, Judas Iscariot received 30 silver coins, looked for the opportunity to hand his master over. Unlike the steps walked by Judas Iscariot, the Lord took one step closer to Jerusalem in order to fulfill his purpose for coming to this earth. When the first day of the Passover came, the disciples asked Jesus where they should go to prepare for the Passover. The Passover originates from the last plague among the 10 that God poured on Egypt in order to let the Israelites leave Egypt. The last plague, the 10th plague, was the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians. God prepared the Israelites to avoid that plague. And as commanded by God, Israelites brushed the side and the tops of the door frames with the blood of young lamb. And when God struck down the firstborn of all Egyptian households and animals, people who were within the house which had been brushed with blood of a lamb were spared. Every year, when the Passover came, the people of Israel memorialized the Exodus by preparing food they ate at the time they left Egypt and reminded their children of what had happened on that day. When the disciples asked where they should go to prepare food for the Passover, this is what Jesus said. This is from verse 18. He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" In the book of Mark, which tells of the same story as today's text, the Lord answered the disciples who questioned him about Passover preparations as follows. This is from Mark. "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." Neither today's text nor the book of Mark that we just read, nor the book of Luke records whose house the Lord was talking about. The owner's name is not recorded. The Lord visited the house of Simon the leper and Zacchaeus the tax collector. But the name of the owner of the house which Jesus used to spend his last Passover on earth is hidden. It seems that the name is not revealed in order to protect the owner of the house because Christians were under severe persecutions by the leaders of the Jews at the time the New Testament was recorded. Given that the definite article ton is placed before the word dana, The certain man was someone the Lord already knew. As told in the book of Mark and the book of Luke, he was a person who owned an upper room. According to the stories passed down from the early church, people have speculated that this man is Mark's father, Nicodemus, or Arimathea Joseph. But there is no definitive evidence that can establish the man's identity. In the same way that owners of a young donkey obeyed Jesus' request, the owner of the upper room also obeyed the words of Jesus. During the time of public ministry of the Lord, there were always people around him. Most close to him were the 12 disciples. And at each place where he taught with his words and the performed signs, there were men and women, young and old. These were people who not merely experienced being filled after being fed with bread or experienced healing of their bodies. People who personally witnessed Jesus spreading the gospel probably tasted in their hearts the life that flowed out of him and experienced it. For people who believed the prophecy the Messiah would come, the work performed by Jesus Christ during his ministry was not some performance. For people of Israel, the Passover that stood for liberation and salvation was a day of celebration. But for the Lord, that day was a day of preparation for him to become the Lamb of Passover in order to save people crying out under sin, a day of suffering. What would have Zacchaeus, the tax collector, felt when he welcomed Jesus, who wanted to visit his home, to his house? The gaze of Zacchaeus, who looked down at Jesus from a sycamore tree, and the gaze of Jesus, who looked up at him from down at the tree, met. At that moment, Zacchaeus probably became conscious of his life view having become new. The moment the declaration of Jesus that he would visit Zacchaeus' house traveled up the sycamore tree, Zacchaeus probably realized that, unlike previously, he had to live differently. And so when the Lord came to his house, he told him he would give half of his possessions to the poor. He confessed that if he had taken something from another by defrauding the person, he would compensate the person four times. If the Lord were to contact you and told you that he would come for a visit in the evening, how would you feel? Maybe there are some who would not be happy, thinking, who comes to visit at homes these days? But if you're a member who have confessed their Lord is your Savior, then you would probably, as soon as you heard the news, go about busily to prepare for his arrival. The owner of the house, who was presented with the Lord's request among many households 2,000 years ago, probably listened closely to Jesus each time he taught in mountains, empty plains, or at times by the river. And he probably experienced a change in his heart as he watched Jesus nearby. And so he would have prepared with all his heart to receive the Lord. And when neighbors were busy with preparing Passover foods, he received the Lamb who would atone for the world's sin to his house. He probably did not know this at the time, but he became the only person who secretly provided his house for the last Passover of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the case that only the hostile gazes that sought to arrest and kill Jesus surrounded him. In Corinthians 1, chapter 15, verse 6, Apostle Paul testifies that the Lord showed himself to Peter after the resurrection, and after that to 500 brothers at one time. A nameless man who was most close to Jesus, other than the 12 disciples, was graced with the opportunity to provide his house to the Lord so that he could have his Last Supper with the disciples. The Bible does not tell us how this anonymous Christian lived after that. But what is clear is that there can't be any doubt that the man who obeyed the request of Jesus lived as a witness of the resurrection. There is a book called titled Christians Who Live on Their Knees. It is a book written in the 1920s and is considered one of the great books on prayer that caused countless Christians to fall on their knees. But because no one knows who wrote the book, the cover of the book only stays anonymous. Maybe there are members out there who have read this book. I read this book a long time ago, and it moved me very deeply. I was moved by the content of the book, but the anonymous author still moves me after years have passed. It is because the author knew that what is important is not becoming famous, but life itself. An anonymous Christian is someone who can live as a Christian when the circumstances and surroundings become better than now. An anonymous Christian must live as a Christian even if he or she is young, has less than others, and even in the midst of corona pandemic. You cannot believe in the Lord according to circumstances, situation, feelings. It's even more untrue that you believe in Jesus to fill your intellectual resources or to take out an insurance. When we point to time, the concepts of chronos and kairos are used. Chronos is the objective time that applies equally to all persons, like 1 hour, 1 day, or 1 year. It flows irrespective of a person's will. On the other hand, kairos is a concept that applies to a specified time. In the Old Testament, by Septuagint, kairos was used to point to a special time at which the God designates from his experience and knowledge. In other words, the time and space in which God personally acts is kairos. God wants us to inhabit kairos with the identity of Christian, even in the midst of chronos, pandemic, a situation in chronos, so that we may come to know God's will, his providence a bit more rightly, a bit more deeply, and a bit more clearly. He invited us to his time and space. The word coronavirus infection, which we began to hear at the end of 2019, has become a word that we hear and use daily. Because of this, at times we feel oppressed and depressed. There are things that we had to put off or give up. But 2020 that we passed through will never come back. The year 2020 will not be extended because we could not accomplish what we wanted to in the year 2020. And so we cannot remain oppressed under corona, which has become a daily word. The name Kim Yona is widely known, not only in Korea, but overseas as well. She started skating when she was 6 years old and achieved a grand slam in women's single in figure skating. She is a beautiful person who added prestige to our country. But has she participated in 2010 Vancouver Olympics or 2014 Sochi Olympics wearing traditional Korean outfit out of her overwhelming love for the country? Would she have won the medal? And would Park Tae-won, who won a gold medal for the first time in Korean swimming competition history at 400 meters freestyle Olympics, have won the medals if he wore the traditional Korean outfit with the traditional hat at the starting line? The two would probably have brought embarrassment to the country. What was necessary for these two sports players was an ideal uniform that would allow them to maximize their abilities. Apostle Paul, through Ephesians, recommends the God's full armor as a uniform with which the Christians are to arm themselves. I will read the words from the Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18 from the New Translation Korean Bible. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the swords of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The full armor of God recommended by Paul does not apply to the believers in Ephesus only. These words apply to us who must live as Christians in the midst of corona pandemic. The suffering of Jesus on the cross is not for us for to live comfortably and safely. The suffering of Jesus Christ is for Christians who have been forgiven to live no matter what the circumstance or situation may be. The Lord, by becoming the Passover Lamb, freely gives us the full armor of God as gift. We must not bury the precious gift like the servant who received one mina and buried it in cloth without making any effort and brought it back. After Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ, he lived armed with the full armor of God thereafter. And he is commanding Christians to be fully clothed in the full armor of God and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests and always keep alert. We must not make the foolish choice of focusing only on the clothes of greed, clothes of fame and power, and keep making excuses to delay until tomorrow and end up being indifferent. We must listen to the requests being made by Jesus, who is speaking to us today. We must recover the first love when we met Jesus personally. Our zeal for the Lord must come alive again, and our powerful march towards the kingdom of the Lord must be recovered again. I ask for your understanding and telling my story about how I tried to live as a Christian who has been saved. When I was young, there were often revival meetings at church. I recall how, with the pastor leading the meeting, we listened to the words and prayed during the 4 days, early morning and morning and afternoons and night. When there was a revival meeting, my mother took me with her. I can't remember precisely when I started attending revival meetings, but I do have a memory of it when I was in second grade in elementary school. That year, too, there was a revival meeting, and holding on to my mother's hand, I sat next to a deaconess who was sitting in front. My mother always said that you should sit next to a person with zealous faith in order not to fall asleep. We sang hymns joyfully to the beat of the drum. The long sermon was also bearable, but what I could not bear was the prayer time that came after the sermon. Everyone was crying out in prayer and tears, but I didn't know what to do. Sitting in the midst of people were rocking back and forth and praying in tongues. I didn't know what to do, and I just got up and left my seat. I stepped carefully between people who were seated on floor cushions close to each other without much space in between and stood by a shoe closet outside the door. When the sound of the prayer subsided, I returned to my seat and I repeatedly did this. The prayer was prayer time was fairly long, but fortunately, my mother did not know that I had left. My mother, in concentrating on her prayers, probably didn't have the room to see how her daughter was reacting to the prayer hour. When I told my mother that I was sick when I was young, she laid me down in the warm part of the room and prayed for me in tongues. I prayed inwardly as I was showered with spit sprays. God, when I grow up, please do not let me ever pray like this. I prayed this way because I saw most members, adult members of the church, pray in tongues at the time. So I thought, this is how you naturally prayed when you became an adult. And I was also unhappy about my mother not buying me a medicine and just praying for me. But during winter vacation after my third year of middle school, I was praying like this. God, would it be okay for me to pray in tongues? I made this petition with a bit of trepidation and embarrassment because I remember the prayer I prayed when I was in elementary school. At the time, I wanted to experience different kinds of gifts that were taught in the Bible. While my faith progressed in this way, I more than ever clearly understood that the reason the Lord died nailed to the cross was for my sake. I was so grateful for this grace that I understood and confessed to the Lord that I would live as a believer during my entire life. And I resolved to myself that if I am going to be a believer, I would be a true believer, not someone who believes superficially or someone who pretended to believe, but someone who lives a life over which the Lord would take joy. I asked Lord for help. Around that time, my father became ill, and he wasn't able to live a normal day-to-day life for 30 years. He passed away about 10 years ago. When my family ran into financial difficulty due to my father's illness, I took a job after graduating from high school. I worked 4 years and 8 months on my first job and 2 years and 7 months on the second job. This is what I experienced during my second job. When I began the New Believers Bible study at the Lord's church that I was attending, I got to learn that a church is not a building, but all those who are called to be believers and those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, based on 1 Corinthians 1. What was taught to me was that the church in which the believers worship is sanctuary, so that the difference between a church and a sanctuary was like a difference between a family and a house. As we were studying those words, I heard through a sermon that the Lord's church was spending half of offerings for neighbors. I reflected on this. A thought occurred to me that I'm also a church, and like what the community of the Lord's church was doing, I too could use a half of my salaries to use for my neighbors. This thought took a hold of me for a while, and I became motivated to follow where this thought would lead me. A question as to whether I could really do this arose in me for a short second, but I wanted to confirm that since God was my Father, I was also a church like the church community. This resolution made my heart to beat faster. This was not something that I needed to talk to anyone about, so I prayed, putting my hands together like this to the Lord. Lord, you told us that our right hand should do what it does without the left hand knowing about it. But Lord, since my right hand is so near my left hand, and how could I do this without anyone knowing, without the one knowing what the other is doing? If my left hand discovers what my right hand is doing, I will stop doing what I do from that moment. And from that moment until I quit my work to attend a study center in preparation to enter a seminary, I experienced something precious during the 24 months in my mid-20s. I tried my hardest to discern the Lord's will about how the secret fund should be used, my right hand, should be spent every month. I called a half of my salary I set aside to be used by my right hand as a secret fund because it was to be used without others knowing about it. As I witnessed how the secret fund became used each month at places I had not known before, gratitude welled up in me. And although there seemed to be neediness to my daily life as someone in her 20s, I did not feel this neediness at all. And I became filled with expectation of the new experience the Lord would allow me to have the following month. When a church community uses offerings in its name, it should disclose exactly how it has used its members. But I decided to use my fund without anyone knowing, and this resolution was kept. And amazingly, my left hand did not know what my right hand was doing. I got to visit a mission site for 10 days during the summer holidays while attending the seminary. I was busy preparing for the trip one day, and I didn't have a chance to eat lunch until late. I was hungry and looked for a restaurant. I saw a Korean fast food shop with its doors wide open with a fan going, and a well air-conditioned Western-style restaurant. When I opened my wallet, I saw that I had 10,000 won. At the time, it was possible to have a meal at a Korean fast food shop for 4,000 won, but I was so hungry in hot weather, so I decided to spend all my 10,000 won and into the Western-style restaurant. The food that I ordered came out, and when I started to pray, suddenly I felt sorry. I felt sorry that unlike other times, I made a decision for my sake. So instead of praying, thank you, I prayed, I'm sorry. At that moment, I heard a voice which I did not expect at all. I am so glad you're eating something delicious, the voice said. I heard the voice as the Lord's voice, and I was so busy crying because of this comforting voice, they do not have any recollection of how the food tasted. But I still remember that because of the Lord who encouraged me and who was with me, my tired self was recharged. And in the year that I graduated from the seminary, I was given an opportunity to work at a Korean church in India. The pastor who was overseeing the church was to go on a year-long sabbatical, and I was to serve during his absence. As I was preparing to leave for India, the pastor sent me an email. His email informed me that Korean church in India was not well off as churches in Korea and could not adequately compensate me. The moment I read the email, I responded in my heart like this: that's okay. If the church's finance is difficult, it may be possible that I won't get paid money needed for my daily living. If there's not enough rice, then all I have to do is go hungry. Father's heart will hurt seeing his child being hungry. I believe in that God. During the 2 years I spent in India, without any hesitation, the Lord fed me with more than enough food. Not only that, he trained me away from my spiritual arrogance. He made me see my arrogance that stopped the Lord from working. Thinking that I could do everything without praying when it came to church affairs because I was used to church ever since I was young. And when I confessed that there is nothing I can do on my own, the Lord began to establish the Korean church instead of me, who only had an experience of working as a pastor in charge of nursery. I once saw a young man who seemed to have been born with handicap crawling busily on his knees and two hands that were placed in slippers. Following him from behind and watching how his shriveled legs shaking in air, I thought that a dog was better off than this young man in his situation out of my pity for him. But at the moment I thought this, I was able to hear the voice of the Lord who said, "He is also my son, whom I have created." And as I passed him by, although it was for a moment, I experienced that space transforming itself into a space of holiness. And I could feel the heart of God towards India, which is overrun with idols. I am now living a faith life with the members of our 100th anniversary memorial church after returning from India. The God I believe in, the God whom I serve, is the living God who have continuously knocked on my arrogant soul from the time that I was young, throughout my 20s and 30s and 40s until now, and at times encourages me to listen to his voice, or at times trains me to do so. The first verse of hymn 430 has this lyric. 'Tis so sweet to walk with Jesus, step by step and day by day. Stepping in his very footprints, walking with him all the way. Like the lyric of this hymn, it is joyful for me to live a life where I walk with God every day. It brings me such joy to live a life in which I listen in order to hear what the voice of Jesus Christ says, not only when I feel well and secure, but when worries and concerns oppress me. It is embarrassing to tell you stories about myself, but the Lord who is with me, who is full of faults and things to be ashamed about, wants to be with you too, and he's knocking on the door of your soul. It is my hope that, like the owners of the young donkey who perhaps gave up their most precious possession, and like the owner of the house who offered up his space despite dangers, the grace of opening widely the door of your heart to the Lord will be with you. It is my hope that in order to hear the voice of the Lord who's knocking on your soul, you will stand at a set-aside place of worship, worshiping God in truth and in Holy Spirit. It is my hope that the grace which allows you to offer yourself to the Lord is with you, so that you will immerse yourself deeply in words, quietly listen to the voice of the Lord, and then your breathing will be praises, and your hands and feet will stay at places of sharing and service. And I pray that this year, 2021, will be a year in which you, as a soldier of the Lord, who is armed with the full armor of God, will walk with courage in order to rightly raise our family, church, and the world. Let us pray. God, who deserves all honor, we thank you for your limitless love in which you gave your only Son as an offering for the sins of the whole humanity. When the Lamb, Jesus Christ, requested a room to spend the Passover, the owner of the house received the Lord. Thank you for allowing us to receive the Lord with gladness, with joy, when the Lord wanted to come into our hearts. Please close us with the full armor of God so that we will be able to live as Christians who has the Lord as master of our hearts without being ashamed. Allow us to immerse ourselves deeply in words and listen in quietness to hear the Lord's voice. May our breathing become praises toward the Lord. May our hands and feet and even wealth that you have temporarily entrusted us with be used beautifully in places where the Lord wants them to be used. And so, thereby, may all of us become people who live up to the blessed calling of leading people who fear the chaotic world to the Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.